professional amateurs.
I'm so glad you asked.
I'll even tell them where I live. Like, you can come and have dinner with me or something. Off the rails.
Hoping to make you look stupid. I want to be unbiased, but I'm not.
Shane Wright.
Like, how stupid can you be?
Sorry, rude. All right, uncut in 3, 2, 1, go.
I'm looking something up.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 15. Is it episode 15? I should have checked this before starting the recording.
You usually put it in the subject of the email.
Yeah, I know. And normally I make the email for the link earlier in the day, so I go check. But right now I made it 3 minutes ago, so I forgot to check. This is episode 15. So, yeah, that little tangent wasn't really necessary because I absolutely nailed it. But yeah, first pod in a couple weeks. Actually, I think 2 weeks of the day. I'm looking at the timestamp right now, and we did it on May 17th. And the second round is in the books. Yeah, and before we get to the second round, we got a couple shout-outs that I'll throw it over to Jack.
Put it in the chat so you could read it.
I thought you were putting it in the chat so that it would remind me to throw it to you because you usually do the shout-outs.
Yeah, but it's a scary last name.
Okay, let me see if I can do the last name. Okay, yeah, so 15-year-old Chloe Primorano made history on Thursday night by becoming the first female skater.
Oh, don't say Thursday night. It was a while ago now.
Well, why did you say Thursday night?
Because I pulled up an article to get her name.
Oh, okay.
That's just copied and pasted from an article.
Was it last week? Or two weeks ago? It was a little bit ago.
Scroll up that far in the group chat.
Chloe Primorano made history becoming the first female drafted into the CHL, which is really cool.
First skater goalies have been.
What did I say?
You said first female, but it's first female skater.
Oh, yeah, I must have just, yeah, okay. I meant to say that.
To not be wrong. That's helpful.
Exactly, yeah. She was selected 267th overall in the 13th round by the Vancouver Giants. That's a pretty cool story. I personally didn't think we were close to seeing, although I guess with a couple of goalies recently being drafted into the CHL.
Yeah, goalies are a bit different though.
It's a lot different. Goalies don't really have to interact with the speed and the skill as much as the players do, as the skaters.
And the physicality.
Physicality, too, right? Yeah, I thought I read a thing that was mentioned how, I forget if it was a league or if it was the IIHF or something, they were pushing to have contact in women's hockey, which is, I think it's kind of crazy.
I remember you sharing that.
I feel like it's kind of crazy that there isn't contact in women's hockey.
Yeah, I find it weird that there isn't.
Yeah, but, oh well, really cool feat for her. Congratulations goes out to her, and hopefully she plays for them someday. That'd be pretty cool. And secondly, St. Louis Blues, their quote-unquote mascot for their Stanley Cup run,
think mascot is the right word.
Well, like, I don't
because they have an actual mascot. They refer to it as like super fans.
Oh, okay. Similar to who Ben Stelter has been to the Oilers this year, Leia Anderson was to the St. Louis Blues back in 2019, and she reappeared at their game in the second round against Colorado, and she was banging the drum before the game, so that was really cool. She looks really good.
Do you know if it's like if she beat it or not? Like, she looks way
healthier. She looks like she did.
I don't want to like put that out there if it's not true, but it looks like it.
Yeah, she looks really healthy. Like, you could tell she was sick 3 years ago when they had their cup run, and she doesn't look sick anymore. But it was just cool to sort of see her face again because she at least not that I know of, she hadn't made many appearances since the cup run. So it was cool to see her, and she looks like she's healthy, and so just a really cool story there. Hopefully we see her more often associated with the Blues. But so moving on, second round was wrapped up over the weekend. Well, I guess last night, the Rangers beat the Carolina Hurricanes in one of the least exciting game sevens of all time. Did you catch
brutal
any of it?
One. No, I didn't watch any of it live, but like I was watching the score a bunch.
Yeah.
The Rangers have been like my de facto team because I picked them to win it and supported them down 3-1. So
yeah, I picked them to go to the final in my bracket, but yeah, no, it was such a shit game seven. Like Shesterkin was amazing, but Carolina didn't really have any A+ chances. Like as the game was going on, I started to realize, oh my God, Carolina versus Tampa would be a terrible series because of how Carolina's been playing with Antti Raanta. Like, I feel bad calling him a backup goalie, but he's their 1B, I guess. And then he got hurt, and then it was Kachetkov or whatever. And so, like, the further into the game we got, I was like, oh my God, please hold on to this, New York, because I just don't want to watch Carolina anymore. Their first round series with Boston, some of those games sucked. Just like, the series itself was good, obviously. It went seven games, but the game, like the games on their own, were just meh. And I just do not like watching Carolina very much. I don't know about you.
And once the third string went in, I'm pretty sure the first shot went in.
Yeah, it did. The very first shot. And it was after Aho and I want to say Niederreiter. I don't know if it was Niederreiter though, but they came in on a 2-on-1 and Aho had a nice like saucer pass over the D, and the winger that Aho was passing it to sort of missed the saucer pass. And then Tampa came up the other way, had their own 2-on-1 and Ryan Strome scored short side on Kachetkov. Like it was easily one that any goalie playing NHL.
It was a saveable puck for sure.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. But it was a guy coming into the game in a game seven, like just weird. Do you buy into the, Rangers have faced a starting goalie for like two games in their playoff run so far?
I mean, it's factual.
Yeah.
I don't think it discredits what they're doing, but
okay, that's kind of what I was getting at, because people are trying to sort of discredit them and like sort of invalidate their Eastern Conference Finals run just because of other teams' injuries. And I kind of just looked at it and I'm like, tough shit.
Yeah, that's sports.
Yeah. I think they're probably going to run into a wall against Tampa. I don't know what you're – or do you want to wait to do our East – or our conference finals sort of preview, or do you want to go over the second round first?
It's your call. I'm good with either.
So let's go through the four second round series first. So, yeah, the Rangers took down Carolina in seven. Did you have any big takeaways from that series? My big one was that towards the end I was ready for Carolina to lose.
Yeah, like Carolina's not really a fun hockey team to watch, I find.
Nope.
And I don't think they're really in for too many big changes. Like, it's kind of just run it back, get healthy.
Trocheck's UFA. Natchez is RFA. D'Angelo's RFA with arbitration.
And D'Angelo's a weird one, too, just because of his off-ice shit.
I think he's going to get paid. He was so good this year. And he sort of proved that he can just smarten up and play. Pretty much, well, not pretty much. It was out of necessity. Like, he didn't have any other option other than to just shut up and play. But he was one of the best offensive defensemen and power play quarterbacks in the NHL this year for 1 year, $1 million. And the way Carolina's run as a franchise, I just don't see. I could definitely see Tony D'Angelo pricing himself out of that market.
I could definitely see that. I'd be afraid to give him a big contract just with the history of.
So maybe another like 1 year deal. Maybe he wants.
I can't imagine he would go for that.
But it might be his only option.
Someone will give him money, I'm sure. It's just, if I was a GM, it wouldn't be me.
Plus, he's RFA with arbitration rights, and he's UFA next year because he'll be 27. He's 26 right now, I think. And so he could just take 1 year deal, take a bit of a pay bump because, obviously he's going to make more than the $1 million he had last year, this year, because he played so well. So maybe that's in Carolina, maybe that's somewhere else, just to prove that he can have two consecutive seasons of good behavior and good play, and then maybe cash out as a 27-year-old unrestricted free agent. Maybe that's how he goes. It'll be interesting. Trocheck's probably gone based off of that Kotkaniemi contract that they gave him. What was it, like 8 years, almost $5 million a year? Like,
yeah, 4.62, I think, or something.
Actually, it might have been 8.2 because that's his jersey number.
8.2, I think you're right. Yeah.
That's weird shit that they do sometimes. That's not third line center for the Carolina Hurricanes. contract. That's a second line center. So I would imagine Trocheck moves on. Natchez probably gets a pretty big deal. But yeah, Carolina will be right back next year. They've got Freddie for another year. But it's just not a team that gets me excited to watch them. So I'm kind of happy they lost.
No.
But anyway, Florida-Tampa, probably the biggest shock. Well, what was the bigger shock? Florida sweep or Florida being swept or Edmonton taking down Calgary in five?
I'd say Edmonton over Calgary in five.
Okay, so let's – okay, well, that kind of – all right. So we'll go back to Tampa, Florida, but then we'll go to Calgary, Edmonton after. Tampa just disposing Florida like that. Vasilevskiy giving up three goals in four games and another game or a series-clinching shutout. Like, what more can you say about the Tampa Bay Lightning?
No, and I think as we kind of discussed in, like, our playoff previews and stuff, like, it feels like they should be running out of gas, but they're just not. And
they just know how to – they just know – like, even then, like, sometimes it does look like they're running out of gas, but they just know how to play in any situation, and they'll just beat you that way.
Yeah, they don't really have a mold. Like, it's
no, they are. This is gonna be a weird way to put it, but they're like a liquid team. Like any container you put water in, it shapes to that container. Any team Tampa plays,
fucking fourth grade science lesson, real quick.
Yes, sir. Any team that Tampa plays, they can beat you the way that your team plays. Like, it's just, it's absurd, really.
For sure, and I think that's probably where some of the difficulty comes from trying to copy them. So it is a copycat league, but they're doing everything. So
yeah, it's pretty wild. Vasilevskiy, if there was any doubt, he is the best player, best goalie in the world. It's not even close, in my opinion. Because even though he had a quote-unquote down season, he had a 916 goals against or 916 save percentage on the year. It really just doesn't matter for this team until this time of year. And it's they're showing it. Three goals against in four games against the
High-flying offense.
The highest flying offense of the cap era.
Yeah.
Like, it's ridiculous. It's so impressive. They did it all without Braden Point. It's just disgusting. Like, it's – I kind of just want to see Tampa win now because just because I want to see a three-peat. Like, I didn't think that would happen, really, especially in the cap era.
No, like, it's not supposed to be possible anymore.
No, like, and Pittsburgh's the only team that's gotten close, and even then, like, they only won one round after winning their two cups. Actually, they haven't won a round since they won a cup. So they got their two cups, but never really have gotten close since. But Tampa's, like, just a steamrolling elite team after elite team. And they're about to face, in my opinion, their easiest opponent in the playoffs so far, on paper. So I'm really looking forward to Vasilevskiy Shesterkin. That's a goalie matchup I've wanted since probably the beginning of March.
For like a 9-8 game one.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be stupid. Yeah, I'm really excited for that series. Moving on to Calgary-Edmonton. This one was a shock, like you said. Edmonton takes it in five games after losing the first game by a score of 9-6. Just hilarious stuff. The first three games were just so stupid. Like, just so many goals. The goalies were so bad.
Mike Smith went in 132 footer and still won.
Oh my God. It's just like, I wish it was a longer series. I'm happy Edmonton won, but I do wish it were a longer series just because of how ridiculous the hockey was. What were your big takeaways?
I specifically, like, the I think it was game three, Edmonton won at 4-1, and I actually, like, I sat down and watched the whole game, and I was just kind of astonished, like, how they just took it over. They looked nothing like what you kind of expect from the Oilers. They looked like they were been there, done it before, and weren't too worried about it type of thing.
It's really weird. They don't even look like the same team as that they did in the regular season.
No, not at all.
They look like the team that got out to a 12-5 start, but then the rest of the year, they were just like this sort of team trying to find its identity, and then all of a sudden, Jay Woodcroft takes over. They become this really, really good regular season team for the last couple months. And now they're back to being this elite team that they stormed out of the gates of the regular season being, that I didn't think they could return to. And they have out of nowhere. Underrated, although it's probably gotten a little bit more attention recently. All the talk about McDavid being on this like incredible pace in the playoffs, 26 points in 12 games. Dreisaitl has matched him point for point and had 17 points in the series against Calgary.
That's just ridiculous.
It's stupid. It's actually funny, like how dominant this duo can be. Like they're taking Dom Luszczyszyn did a article comparing McDavid's playoff run so far to and he uses his goals game score value added stat, which is basically wins above replacement. And so he took McDavid's 12 game sample, and McDavid's 12 games he's played at a 10.9 win pace, which would place him, I think, in like the top 10 in the NBA. If you translate it over, because the NBA has a game score stat, and like the best NBA player has like a 18 win pace or something, but then it falls off a cliff. And so I'm pretty sure McDavid's 11 win pace would place him in the top 10 in the NBA, where it's a very individual driven league.
Yeah. And like they can play 40 out of 48 minutes and have the ball for 35 of those minutes.
Score half your team's points and like stuff like that. And then the other thing was, and for reference on how insane an 11 win pace is, the highest win pace this season was Austin Matthews at like 6.2 or something. And like on average, your top game score value added number is like low sixes. So McDavid's almost doubling that in his 12 games. It's just stupid.
In what's supposed to be the tight checking playoffs.
Yeah. And yeah, that's the other thing too, is that like these playoffs they've had their dud games, but there's been a lot more scoring, I think, than in previous regular seasons, or not regular seasons, playoffs. And which has been really fun. I think there's been a lot of goalie injuries, and a few teams have had some goalie issues that were unforeseen, like Calgary, for example. But yeah, just a really, really fun series. As for Calgary, like, holy shit. Like, this was a team that thought they were going to walk. Well, maybe they didn't, but I think everyone else did. I know the three of us did. Thought they were going to walk to the Western Conference Final, and we're on a collision course with Colorado.
Yeah, like, I think in our Flames episode there, we had Austin and Owen on. We said, like Conference Final or bust for their playoff.
For sure. And now they go into an off season where their two best players are free agents, one unrestricted and one restricted. And that's not to mention Mangiapane and Shillington, Oliver Shillington, who are both restricted free agents. So it's going to be a very interesting off season in Calgary. I saw like obviously you get all these teams being linked to certain restricted free agents and stuff. One of the big RFAs that the New Jersey Devils have been linked to are Kevin Fiala. But recently there's been sort of a narrative of maybe the Devils should trade the number two pick for Matthew Tkachuk with an extension. What are your thoughts on that? And who do you think says yes or no, or if whatever?
I mean, I love that fit for New Jersey. I don't know if Calgary was going to do that, they obviously have to have Johnny Goudreau signed. Yes. Like they couldn't lose both.
Yeah.
But since it's like an RFA and an extension would need to be signed, he would have to agree to it. And I can't see him wanting to go to Jersey.
You don't think so?
No.
I think he's just trying to get to St. Louis as fast as possible.
Yeah.
Cause I'm pretty sure. Oh, I forget what it is. I think if he signs a one-year deal, he can walk to UFA, although it might be a two-year deal, because since he signed a three-year extension after his ELC, I think he still has two more years of team control before he can become unrestricted. Something like that. Yeah, it's going to be a fascinating offseason for Calgary, and I'm really excited to see how much further Edmonton can go. And as for the last series of the second round of the NHL of the Stanley Cup playoffs, St. Louis, Colorado, A little bit more interesting of a series than I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be done in five. Did you catch game five? It was the one where McKinnon had that end-to-end goal, like just a ridiculous end-to-end goal. And then St. Louis...
No, I didn't see it live, but I've seen the goal.
Okay. McKinnon had one of the most impressive goals I've ever seen. St. Louis answered with, I think it was less than 2 minutes left. McKinnon's goal was with like 2.5 minutes left to take the lead. St. Louis tied it, and then they won it in overtime. It was a really sort of, especially because it was in Colorado, it was a really deflating ending just because it was bonkers in that building after McKinnon scored. But Colorado ultimately gets it done and gets over the hump in game six. Do you have any big takeaways from that series?
Jordan Binnington the dick.
Oh yeah, all the Kadri stuff. That stuff was brutal. He clearly inadvertently injures Jordan Binnington, and he receives all of these just brutal messages from stupid Blues fans who just have no business being fans if you're going to do that. And then Kadri comes back in game two and scores, or I forget which game he did it, but he scored a hat trick in the game after Binnington's injury and just...
And he said, like, that one's for all the haters.
Yeah, he said it all. He said all the right things. Like, Kadri took every W you can imagine in that situation, in that big conflict. And then the water bottle thing. Like, Jordan Binnington is just such a joke.
And one thing, too. Like, obviously, people who are going to come after Kadri like that, like, they have no place in hockey and no place in society, really. Yeah. But he did handle it really well. And out of it, a lot of positive Kadri stories came as well, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah. It sucks, like, the circumstances that you have to endure to have those nice stories of Kadri
come out. But it's shitty circumstance, but it was cool to see kind of, like, the hockey world support of it.
Yeah, definitely. And there were a lot of cool posters that Avalanche fans brought to the game after it happened, saying, like, we stand with you, Nazem, stuff like that. But, yeah. Kadri's going to get paid this offseason.
Yeah, that's
going to be fascinating.
It's a weird one because it screams like it could be a mistake if you give him term.
He's 31.
And, like, he wasn't as offensive as he was this year.
No, this is a career. Like, this is, like, an like, out-of-nowhere.
It's going to be an interesting one because he's going to want to get paid as, like, a number one center.
Which I would not want to do at all.
No, like, he's more a two or a three even.
He would be the best third-line center in the NHL, but he is a second-line center. I firmly would think he is, like, you can put him right in as a second-line center. Colorado has a lot of questions. Obviously, they're not worried about it right now, but after this...
No, they got bigger things.
Yeah, so we can talk about that a different day. As for St. Louis, I would say they had some unexpected success this year. Winning a round, I picked them to win the round, but like at the start of the year, I probably wouldn't have picked them to have 109 regular season points. Some huge breakouts from guys like Robert Thomas and Jordan Kyrou. Pavel Buchnevich, he didn't break out, but first year in St. Louis was absolutely massive.
That's another one to add to kind of the weird Rangers situation, though.
We can circle back to the Rangers. Yeah.
We were texting about it earlier, so it popped in my mind.
Yeah. The Rangers are so weird. We can spend a little more time talking about them because we're going to preview the two series. So we'll go into Rangers Lightning and talk about the Rangers. But as for St. Louis, they did a lot of good things this season, I think. Villahuso is probably – I think Binnington took his number one role back, so I think St. Louis probably has some more clarity on their net going into next year, probably keep Binnington around, and Villahuso is a UFA, so someone's going to pay for him. What would you do if you needed a goalie and Villahuso was sitting right there?
It's a weird one because it's like he was a highly touted prospect, kind of fell off, and then kind of came back out of nowhere.
Well, he got completely leapfrogged by Binnington.
Yeah.
Binnington was beneath him.
And Joel Hofer as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They have Hofer too. I forgot about that.
And obviously, like St. Louis with the Binnington contract, they don't really have much of a choice.
I think you could probably trade Binnington now after his playoff run because he played so well. But teams know that Huso is a UFA, right? So
yeah, it, like nobody's going to make that deal.
Under different circumstances, teams might try to acquire Binnington, but since the teams aren't dumb, like they know what St. Louis would be trying to do, so you're not going to get value back for Binnington. And no teams are going to give you value.
No, Huso's a weird one. I think maybe like New Jersey float him a pick for the negotiation rights. And
So it's, again, second time New Jersey's come up in a playoff podcast, kind of funny, but I've seen Jack Campbell's name connected to New Jersey, which is pretty interesting. They'll definitely be goalie hunting, but yeah, Ville Husso to New Jersey would be really pretty. What would you give him on a contract? If you were GM of the Devils, what would you give Ville Husso?
I was throwing like 3, 3.5, 2 years.
3 or 3.5 for 2 years?
Yeah, like I wouldn't go crazy. It would be kind of more of a prove it, but the starter role is yours.
I really wonder what the market is going to be like for him. Because obviously,
it's
like,
weird because no goalies are really available, but at the same time, there's only 32 starters.
Yeah, well, and he's really young. Like I think he's like 25 or 26.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, he might be 27 because that's when you become a UFA no matter what. I'm just going to check. He doesn't have a ton of NHL experience, so I would assume he's probably okay. Yeah, he's 27, so you'd be signing a 27-year-old goaltender who's never been a starter or really a full-time NHLer until this year.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd probably give him 3 years.
I'd give him three, like if he wanted it at a lower price tag, but I would expect like, if he's going to have to take a lower price tag, do a year or two and then cash it.
This is me just spitballing what I think. Obviously, I don't know anything. I would say, this is my guess. The first team that offers him 4 years gets him. And I think his cap hit is going to be like low fours.
I would do like 4 point or 4x4 in a heartbeat. That would be a
4x4, you think?
That would be like a low risk, high reward. I would.
He's 27. Actually, maybe I undershot it by a year. I can't decide if 3 or 4 years will be sort of the consensus, and then whoever offers that either fourth or fifth year would be sort of the team to take him. It'd be interesting.
And everything points to Campbell's going to take a pay cut, say in Toronto. I think.
You think so?
Based off all like the comments and stuff I've seen,
hmm.
Like his end of year presser and stuff like that.
That dude needs to cash out. Like he's 30 years old and he's made, I think, $6 million in his career. This is probably his last shot at a real payday. I think if it's in his best interest, he should probably just take as much money as he can. Cause Toronto's not going to be able to give him 5.5, 5+, although they could, it would just hamstring the rest of their roster. But also to be fair, names that are being connected to the Leafs, like a Fleury or a Leonard, like those are going to cost you $5 anyway. So do you just stick with a guy you know wants to be there, or do you take a chance on some exterior option?
And I mean, money's not everything to everyone, though. Like it's
that's true. But $3 million
to play a children's game is not bad.
No, it's and not. I think
he thrives in the Toronto media, which is rare.
Yeah,
and he's very popular and well liked in the dressing room, like.
I think maybe I've just gotten more of the, I don't even know what perspective. Maybe it's the media perspective, just pushing the fact that he's a middle-aged goaltender for an NHLer, like 30, and he's yet to have, like his most significant contract was 2 years times 1.65. So like, you're kind of at a point in your career where if that's your motivation, you should probably take as much money as you can, because it's probably your last shot at a good-sized contract. But the goalie market is going to be fascinating because of the sheer lack of goaltending on the open market. Like, it's going to be all... like, you've got Kemper, who probably stays in Colorado. You've got Jack Campbell. You've got Fleury, who's going to be 38 next year. And then it's a steep drop-off after that. And Ville Husso. So you've got those big four. And after that, it really tails off. And then you've got the Leonard stuff in Vegas. You've got what else? Like a bunch of teams need a goalie. It's going to be a really interesting offseason for goalies, I think. You've got Montreal's uncertainty surrounding Carey Price. Like, that could shake up the market big time. It would probably dictate whether a Jake Allen is available.
For sure. And shout out Caden Primeau. He's killing at the Calder Cup playoffs right now.
Oh, for Laval?
Yeah, I think they're off to the finals. Or either, no, the conference finals, I think.
Oh, cool. Nice. I haven't been following it. It was weird. A lot of my Twitter feed talks about Belleville, and they were talking about how Belleville lost in three games. And I had to text Ryan and be like, what? Is there like a qualifier round? And he was like, no, the first round is three games. I was like, what the hell? That's so weird. I think it goes like 3-5, 7-7.
Yeah.
But anyway, what are we talking about? St. Louis? Yeah, St. Louis. Let me just pull up their cap friendly. Let's see how their offseason looks. I know for a fact that Ryan O'Reilly is UFA after next season. So that's an interesting one.
He's getting up there too.
He's
mid-30s.
There's some mileage on that body. He's 31. What would you be looking at for a Ryan O'Reilly extension?
I don't know if I would even give him an extension at this point. Nothing like against him or the player he is. I just wouldn't want to commit to like an older guy with that play style. I'd have to wait and see another year how he keeps up.
Do you think St. Louis can afford to allow a second straight captain walk? Like, would that not be kind of devastating PR-wise?
I feel like it would be, but it wouldn't be. Like, at the same time, like, LA and San Jose both stripped their captains and kept them in the room. Like, I think it's maybe blown up more than it needs to be in the media when that happens.
Right. So I'm just looking at their cap friendly. So Vladimir Tarasenko goes also UFA after next season. He's making
sense. He wanted out before this season.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I wonder if that'll come up again.
If he still wants out, his value's back up at least.
For sure. That'll be fascinating. If
they would have been trading at a huge low before this year.
Yeah, but he went and had a typical Vladimir Tarasenko season. Just bounced right back to being worth his price tag. So they've got a lot of big ticket guys. So as you were saying with Ryan O'Reilly, it might be smart of them to wait because Jordan Kyrou is an RFA. Robert Thomas is an RFA. Ivan Barbashev is a UFA. And that's all after next season. So that's three huge parts of their team that are going to need contracts after next year. And that's pretty much it. Yeah, all of their D are more or less locked up or just don't really matter that much. So, yeah, St. Louis will definitely be interesting. There's a lot of just fascinating teams going into this offseason for the next like calendar year or so.
Ready for nothing to happen again.
Yeah, exactly. That's what always happens. There's always so many different things that
can
happen.
It looks like there's so many possibilities and then every team's like, nah.
Yeah. The Ottawa Senators are like reportedly in on like Kevin Fiala and Claude Giroux and they're going to go pick up like Kasperi Kapanen from Pittsburgh or something in like a cap dump or some bullshit. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So that covers the second round series. We've got about 5 minutes left in this meeting. So we will have to set up a second one.
Unless
we're super fast. So, I don't know about you, but I'm the most excited for these conference finals. Probably most excited I've ever been for a pair of series. The storylines are endless. Which one would you like to start with?
Colorado-Edmonton is the bigger one in my opinion, I think.
Plus, it starts tonight, so it's appropriate. Do you have...
That was totally part of my decision.
Right? Exactly. Do you have an initial thought to kick off the dialogue on the series?
Am I allowed to steal your idea that was already discussed?
Yeah, go for it.
Well, it was all the McDavid versus McKinnon stuff when really these are two loaded teams and there's a lot more to them than these two guys. And I mean, you look at the McKinnon goal that we were talking about there in the last round and McDavid kind of just willing his way. But these are loaded hockey teams. This isn't just two guys.
It's going to be electric. Like I mentioned over text, I think it was just with you. I forget if Ryan was if it was a group chat or not. But I said... Point blank, like four of the top five players in the league are in this series. That's Nathan MacKinnon, Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, and Cale Makar. Obviously, the fifth one would be Austin Matthews. Do you like agree with that, or would you?
I like out of order. I agree with that. We can.
Yeah, obviously.
Argue order another time.
But I didn't. Sure, like, I didn't mean for me to put MacKinnon.
No, first, no, I know, I know.
Yeah. Okay.
I agree. Like, those are top five guys, and especially the way they're all playing. Like, all of them are red hot right now.
Yeah,
and even with, like, obviously sometimes they're on the ice at the same times, but they'll be probably 50 minutes out of 60 every night. There's someone who could go end to end.
Yeah. And then if you look even like, and I'm about to say, if you look further down the lineup, meanwhile, we're still looking at team's top line. You've got Devin Taves, who is easily a top 10, possibly top five defenseman in the NHL. I will argue in his favor all day long. He is so good.
2 second round picks.
Yeah, big time Lou deal right there. Couldn't give him 4 times 4.1. Like,
and now this year they're looking for an offensive defenseman.
Oh my god, it's such a joke. Oh my god, the Islanders are such a joke.
We should talk another time. We don't have time right now. But Matt Barzal, like, when is he gonna want out?
Probably when Lou tries to squeeze him.
Because like he's lighting it up. I don't know if you paid attention to the World Championships, but like.
Yeah, he lit it up.
He's been stellar for Canada because he's not having to play defensive.
So I've listened to two podcasts in the last little while that have mentioned Matt Barzal's situation because he needs a contract after next year. He's going to be RFA after he signed a 3x7 a few years ago. Like, that dude had a down year this year and he had 60 points on that Islanders team.
On a defensive Barry Trotz team.
And a bad one this year.
And the guy they bring in is a Barry Trotz lifetime assistant, so I don't think much is going to change.
It's not going to change. Plus, as long as Lou is building that roster, like
I genuinely like Matt Barzal is a 100-point player, I believe.
If yeah, oh, 100%.
And not even this year when so many guys hit, but like in his career, he could have been.
That was so obviously with the Olympics being canceled, like we missed out on seeing a lot of players in specific jerseys. I was so looking forward to Matt Barzal potentially playing with a McDavid or a MacKinnon, someone that can keep up with him.
Not only like speed, but intelligence too.
Yeah, like
Matt Barzal's IQ is off the charts for hockey sense.
Yeah, like if you look at the Islanders roster, it's a bunch of cavemen making $5 million a year for the next 4 years or more. Like their most skilled forward besides Matt Barzal is Anders Lee. And he's their cap. Like, it's a joke. It's such a joke. It's such a bad roster. They have two pillars on D signed to great contracts. Like, respect to Ryan Pulock and Adam Pellick. Ilya Sorokin is a star. But that forward group is just so bad.
And, like, they have some guys. Even, like, Oliver Wahlstrom. Like, he's going to have to either break out or be a bust. So.
He's stalled out. Like, he needs to change the scene. Like, he doesn't fit on that team. Noah Dobson, too. He's sick. But he needs a contract as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Islanders roster is almost as static as a roster can be. Like, they can't – they're not a mile of moves they can make because their money is bad money. Like, it's not like a team like Tampa where if you're in a – If you need to clear out some salary, it's easy for you because your players are actually good.
Mm-hmm.
The Islanders players are bad and old and overpaid, but whatever. It'll be interesting to see what happens with Barzal. We got to end this meeting.
Yeah, we didn't even start. We just talked about a team, not the playoffs.
Yeah, we just talked about a completely different team, but that's okay. We will continue in a sec here. All right, we're back. And in the meantime, between meetings, I pulled up the Islanders cap friendly, and Jack and I decided that we need to spend another couple minutes on the Islanders just to really go through how hilarious this roster is right now. I don't even know how this topic came up. Like, how did we get onto the Islanders? Do you remember?
Devin Taves.
Right. Okay.
The 2 second round picks.
All right. So I'm going to go player by player, and I'm going to give years and AAV. And then, so the Islanders are going into this offseason with $12 million in cap space, okay? Their players they need to sign are Kiefer Bellows as an RFA, Noah Dobson as an RFA, Sebastian Aho as a UFA, Chara and Andy Green, who are probably both done, and that's it. So they can, that's pretty easy with $12 million. But then you consider the fact that after next season, they'll have So, okay, so Matthew Barzal has 1 year left at $7 million as an RF. He'll be RFA. Anders Lee has 4 more years at $7 million. Brock Nelson has 3 more years at $6 million. Josh Bailey has 2 more years at $5 million. Jean-Gabriel Pageot has 4 more years at $5 million. Kyle Palmieri, oh my God, he has 3 more years at $5 million. I think he scored under 10 goals this year.
And he was like a good deadline pickup, and then they signed him.
Oh, that's not smart. You don't keep deadlines.
Like, it's a rental for a reason.
Yeah, come on, Lou. Anthony Beauvillier, 2 more years at 4.15. He'll be UFA after that. So he'll be a young UFA. Like,
he's like one of their only legit trade chips, too, if they want to change something.
He's 24 right now. Casey Cizikas, 5 years at 2.5. He's 31 already. Oh my God. Kyle Clutterbuck, 2 more years at 1.75. Matt Martin, 2 more years at 1.5. Ross Colton, 4 more years at $1.1 million. Oh my God. And Oliver Wahlstrom, 1 more year at under a mil. He'll be RFA. And then for your D, you've got Ryan Pulock, 8 years at 6.15, stellar contract. Adam Pellick, 7 more years at 5.75, stellar contract.
Those are both insanely good.
They're incredibly good. Those are both like top line D at a combined cap hit of about 12.
And Seth Jones is making 9.5.
Yeah, exactly. And they're both 27. Scott Mayfield, 1 more year at 1.45, and that's all they have. And then if you look at their goalies, Varlamov's UFA after next year, Sorokin's UFA in 2 more years. Like, this team is fucked.
Yeah.
Like, everyone's talking. A lot of the narrative has been, okay, so they went to the Eastern Conference final 2 years in a row. They ran into Tampa. This year was a blip because they played the first 13 games on the road or whatever. And then after that, they were I think the stat was that after their 13 game start, they were like a 95 point pace. I don't know if everyone noticed, but no teams with less than 100 points made the playoffs this year for the East.
Yeah.
So the Islanders, if you ignore their 13-game start, where I think they won 3 games, they still didn't play at a playoff pace.
And, like, this isn't a team I expect to bounce back from.
No, that too. They're not young, and they're not, like, they're only 2 players under 30 years old are Barzal and Beauvillier. And then at forward, their only 2 forwards under 30 are Barzal and Beauvillier. And, oh my God, all of the money is bad. Ross, okay, you know what? My bad. Oliver Wahlstrom's 21. He hasn't really, like, he hasn't broken out yet. So he's like a bottom 6 guy. And then Paul, all due respect to Ross Johnston, he's 28. However, he should not be in the NHL. Not on a roster that also has Casey Cizikas, Kyle Clutterbuck, and Matt Martin on it. Anyway, you don't need.
Oh, I agree. You don't need 4 of those.
You don't need 4 of those guys all making over $1 million with
turn. And like Lou Lamoriello, no disrespect, amazing career, but like, if you were to tell me they had 4 kind of like grinder guys who are old and signed too long, I'd be like, oh, it's Jim Benning's Canucks.
Yeah.
Like, this doesn't feel like a Lou built team.
But the thing is, that's how he built the Devils.
Yeah, like 20 years ago.
But that's the thing, is he's a 70 whatever year old man. He might even be 80. I have no idea. And like, what's he gonna do? Change? Like, he's won 3 cups or whatever it was with the Devils, building a roster the way he knows how. He's not gonna change it now. And plus, who's gonna go tell him? Like, hey,
Lou, yeah, teams are up. And that's the thing that worries me for Matt Barzal. Is he going to even want to request a trade?
He'll get
fucking benched.
Yeah, that's the thing that's just nuts. And then, oh, what was I going to say? Okay, and then so another thing that doesn't get enough attention is that he built the league. Like, he was there before Kyle Dubas took over in Toronto. He gave Nikita Zaitsev a 7-year contract at $4.5 million with a no-trade clause. Like, that's so between that contract and Casey Cizikas,
I think he did the Marlowe one as well.
He did do the Marlowe one, which caused,
they had to pay a first to get rid of,
which turned into Seth Jarvis. Can you imagine Seth Jarvis on the Leafs right now?
That would be elite.
Like, he's a speaking legitimate of
Jarvis, top. Did you see the Trouba hit that took him out?
Yeah, it was clean.
Yeah, 100%. It was just like big guy hit little guy.
Yeah, okay.
But so, I've seen a lot of complaints about it.
Yeah, because a guy got hurt. That's what hockey is now. If a guy gets hurt, it's whoa. Like, people get mad when players get hurt in a contact sport. That's just how life is now because it's 2022. Anyway, unless you wanted to spend more time on that.
No, I was like curious for your opinion, but if you're not going to argue against it, like, we're on the same
page. Yeah, I know. It's 100% clean. Like, Lou Lamoriello has, he has the undisputed throne for worst contract in the NHL, in my opinion. Like you've got your Jeff Skinner, but like, he's good. He bounced back. Like, he's an actual good player. Eric Karlsson's still a good defenseman. He's overpaid, but he's still a good defenseman when he plays.
Yeah, like he cancels out some of it.
Nikita Zaitsev does not belong in the NHL, and he's making $4.5 million. And then Casey Cizikas, 5 years for a fourth liner. Like, that's comedy. And then he also gave Patrick Marleau his, I think it was it 3 years at like 6.4?
Three at like 6.4 or something.
I think it was 6.25. It was like way too much money at the time even. And then
like, when like comparable guys right now, like Joe Thornton, Jason Spezza are taking minimum.
Minimum. Like, that should have been a minimum contract for Marleau to play for the Leafs.
And 1 year at a time.
Yeah. Like, oh man, that's such a big, that's probably like, I don't know if it gets enough, as much attention. Maybe it does. I'm not like a big Leafs guy. Like, obviously I'm fully clicked into them because they're Toronto and I'm from Ontario, but like, does anyone ever talk about what if we had Seth Jarvis right now?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I bet you it comes up, maybe not as much as it should though, because he's a star.
Well, people are afraid to talk bad about Lou.
Yeah, that too.
Our pod's small enough. We can talk shit. He won't find us.
Well, he's a bad GM. Like, I don't care.
I don't think he understands podcasts because he's so old. So we're probably safe.
No, he probably listens to Don Cherry's podcast.
He probably watches old, like, Rock'em Sock'ems on repeat. VHS.
Oh, man.
Just winds them by hand.
Just because his Devils were probably such a prime team to have on that.
Yeah, Scott Stevens murdering people.
But my main point for, like, basically, just to put a bow on this Islander situation, all this money, like, all of their money is bad besides like four guys at five if you factor in Sorokin. Like, okay, Barzal's money is good. Brock Nelson's a good player, probably making a little bit more than he should. Who was it? Beauvillier's money is okay. Pulak and Pellick's money is great. And then Ilya Sorokin is on a steal of a contract, but there's only 2 years left.
And I think if, like, Lee and Brock Nelson, I think were, if I'm not mistaking the timeline, they were kind of reactionary to Tavares leaving.
Yes. Yeah.
I think it was like, we can't lose everyone. We've got to pay these guys.
No, that's absolutely it. Let's see what Brock Nelson's original contract was in terms of current. Yeah. Yeah. They have both of their contracts were signed the same offseason that Tavares left. So,
there you go. Look at my memory actually working.
Big time. Yeah, but... Oh, Lou. Okay, yeah, the Islanders are a mess. They have easily the least enviable. I would take... Okay, here's the question. This is a banger. You're a new GM, and you have to pick between taking over the Islanders or the Coyotes.
The Coyotes, they have so many draft picks.
Yeah, okay, that's what I was going to go with, too.
The Coyotes are a dream situation to take over.
Is there a worse situation than the Islanders, off the top of your head?
Seattle would be close.
Yeah, but they still have, besides Grubauer, they don't have bad money.
No, but, like, just for lack of resources.
Yeah, but they don't have negative resources.
No, I'm not arguing. I'm just saying, like, to be close.
Okay, like, the Islanders have negative resources.
Yeah, where like Seattle's close to zero, so
yeah,
I don't know that anyone's in the negatives like the Islanders are right now.
Yeah, they're completely fucked. Man, it's crazy.
I don't even think they're probably not even a playoff team next year.
No, they're not. No, I don't even think they'll come close. I think they'll
because, like, if you bring in a new coach and you think maybe like, oh, we're gonna bounce back, but this guy has been on Barry Trotz's hip since Nashville. and no disrespect to that, but that means nothing is going to change.
I think the Islanders are going to regress even.
I would say, or
instead of having a bad start in a good rest of the season to average out to being average, I bet you they're just average the whole year.
Yeah, 100%.
I don't think they make the playoffs. I'm not going to pick them to make the playoffs next year.
No, barring anything crazy in the offseason, like, they'll be a lottery team for sure.
Okay, Islanders or Blackhawks for team situation? That one's tough, I think. Tougher.
On paper, I would say the Blackhawks have it better, but then you've got all that PR garbage.
And that's like, the thing. So
the shitty owner and the...
Like, Chicago has some young pieces.
They can trade to Brinkhead. They can trade Kane.
Yeah. So I think they're in a bit of a better situation, but it's still just such a mess for them too. But purely on ice, Islanders take the cake and it's not close, I don't think.
Yeah. Like on ice and contracts.
Yeah. Okay. So back to Colorado Edmonton after that. I was going to say brief, but it wasn't brief. Devon Taves.
It wasn't brief. If you tuned out, we understand.
After that Devon Taves / Islanders tangent, if you go further down the lineup of both teams, you've got Evander Kane.
We're still on their fucking second line.
So you've got Devon Taves, who is like an elite, like legitimate number one defenseman who just so happens to be Colorado's number two defenseman. You've got Bowen Byram, who's the fourth overall pick and looks like an absolute star after returning from his concussion problems, which is...
Barring, like, his injuries, he'd be top 20 probably by now.
He's, like, watch out for him next year. He's going to be sick. Like, to be honest, I think that Colorado should genuinely look into dealing a guy like Sam Girard just to keep... Like, I think...
Oh, 100%.
They should give Girard's contract to Byram. If he would take it. Yeah, I would, like... You would talk to Byram, be like, hey, like, would you take 8x5 or 7x5 or whatever Girard signed? And then you immediately flip Girard for some forward help because Colorado's going to get cleaned out after this year, especially with McKinnon's contract coming in next year.
His is ridiculous. He's only at like 6-something, isn't he?
Who?
McKinnon.
He's at 6.3. That's going to double.
Because he signed it back when it was a big deal to sign like 6x7.
He signed 7 years, 6.3. I was looking at him the other day.
And, like, that was huge at the time.
At the time, too, it was a gamble because he was coming off of, like, maybe, I think it was, like, a 50-point season. Because he signed it right after his third year. I don't think he signed it in advance like McDavid did and those guys. But I think he signed it third season.
And that was when everyone was taking bridge contracts.
Yeah, exactly. He was,
so, like, to give term was weird.
Yeah. But so, yeah, so we'll go back to Colorado in a sec. But if you look down the lineup, you've got Byram, Sam Girard. Actually, let's just focus on Colorado for now. They've got like Landeskog, Rantanen, who's a top 15 forward easily, I think. Who else do you got? Kadri, who had like 80 points this year. Burakovsky's a monster. Nichushkin's super underrated. Arturi Lehkonen is an incredible winger. Like, he's really good player.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know all about him.
And a playoff, he shows up for the big games, too.
Yeah. But, yeah, like, so... Where was I going to go with that? And then you go to Edmonton, and you've got Evander Kane. 12 goals in the playoffs so far. Leads the playoffs. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins had a revival this playoffs. Darnell Nurse has been playing great. Like, there's a lot less depth in Edmonton than there is in Colorado, but there's so many all-star caliber players in this series. It's going to be so good.
Do you want to throw like an updated prediction out there? Because I don't think really anyone had Edmonton in the conference final.
Yeah, I think... I think Colorado's gonna win it. I don't think it's gonna be particularly hard. The only way I see this being like, I think Edmonton maxes out at 2 games in the series. But the only I could see the series going longer than I expect it to if Kemper struggles. because he hasn't been rock solid in the playoffs. Like, this is going to be a shootout, this series.
Yeah.
It's going to be a shootout. And so, I don't know, like, if there was a team that could go blow for blow with McDavid and McKinnon, or not McKinnon, and Draisaitl, it's Colorado.
Yeah.
So I definitely think that Edmonton probably meets their match here. I'm going to say Colorado in five.
That's funny, because I'm going to say Edmonton in five.
No way!
Yeah, I'm throwing it out there. McKinnon and, like, or McKinnon, McDavid has just been on the next level. Like, I forget who said the quote, but, like, he's evolving in front of our eyes. Like, this is not, let alone in this era of hockey, but ever in hockey, this is not something that someone was supposed to be able to do. Oh, like, that's not what the sport is like. This is, as you, like, shared with the game score, like, this is an NBA-level dominance. It's just not something that happens in hockey.
Yeah.
And I think, like, he's just having the time of his life right now, and I don't think he's stoppable. And then you bring up the fact that Draisaitl has gone blow for blow and been underrated. Or not underrated, but under the radar. Like, it's not talked about.
Oh my God, that fires me up so much that you just picked Edmonton in five.
I think they're going to not necessarily
like a gut feel. Like, it's not, yeah, just have a gut feel.
Yeah, like, it's not going to be an easy series. I just think for 60 minutes each night, they're going to be able to sneak away and just take it over.
They beat Calgary in five and it wasn't an easy series, right?
So, no, exactly. Like, I'm not like, it's not like a gentleman's sweep. Like, this is going to be a close five. But
yeah, it's not like a Colorado sweeping Nashville. Like, it's a...
Yeah.
Like, that was an easy series. Damn, that's really cool.
I was like, before I asked the question, I thought of it myself and I came to that answer. And then you were just hyping up Colorado and I was like, oh shit.
I was reading The Athletic put out a prediction article, and for the, like, their whole NHL staff, and 96% took Colorado.
Nice.
So that'll be legendary if Edmonton wins. What a path to the final if they win that. You take down Calgary and Colorado. Holy.
Like, and Tampa, to do it with, like, the roster they have isn't, a super good roster.
No.
But no. I don't know. I don't think they're stoppable. Momentum's a hell of a drug.
Oh, man. That's wild. That'd be really cool. Speaking of difficult paths, we've got Tampa Rangers in the East. Tampa went through two top five teams in the NHL. It might have even been two of the top four teams. I think Toronto might have been fourth in the whole league.
I think so.
Yeah, two of the top four teams to get to the Stanley Cup final. Or not the Stanley Cup final. The Eastern Conference final, where they face the Rangers. Is it kind of weird to you that the Rangers have home ice?
It feels wrong.
Feels weird. Just because 100%. Tampa's been waiting so long. Like, it just feels like since Tampa's been waiting so long for their opponent that they should be, like, waiting at home and one of the teams should be going to them. Like, it just kind of...
And, like, the Tampa, like, is two-time defending champion. Like,
yeah.
And they have they're kind of expected to be there, where the Rangers have kind of been getting by a little bit.
And they haven't had home ice yet.
They've been touch and go a little bit, but
yeah. Who you got?
This was my series originally, so I'm sticking with Rangers.
Okay.
I had this conference final correctly.
So I originally had Rangers Leafs in the Eastern Conference final. But I'm going to switch up my pick. I'm going to go Tampa in six. I am extremely excited for this series, though. Like, this is a goalie battle for the ages. Like, I can't
remember. I don't know that there's ever been a matchup on paper with two goalies like this.
That's what I was just about to say. I was trying to think of a goalie matchup that's been between literally the two best goalies in the world. Like, I don't think...
And, like, Vasilevsky has done it for years now.
Yeah, and now you've
undeniably got... Undeniably number one. Shesterkin had for, what, three quarters of the year, he was in the heart conversation?
Yeah. Like... Maybe if you'd have seen, like, a Vancouver, New Jersey Stanley Cup final between, like, Brodeur and Luongo or something, that would have had similar vibes. But, like, seeing a pair of goalies, both from Russia, both, like, just at the peak of their powers, both around the same age, and there's, like, in my opinion, there's no debate about any other goalie being top two in the world. Like, it's Vasilevsky and it's Shesterkin, and it's there's, like, 100 feet of 100 feet, and then there's the third best goalie. Like, take your pick. But it's those two and everyone else.
And truly, at like, maybe not Shesterkin as much. He had a bit of a rough first. I guess they both kind of had off first rounds, but
they did.
They're both at like the top of their games right now.
Both of their second rounds kind of canceled out their first rounds, and now both goalies are at like a 930 save percentage for the playoffs.
And I think Shesterkin, if I'm not mistaken, I read he outscored like 20 skaters by having two assists.
Yeah, it's so good. Man, I think we're really spoiled with these conference finals. You've got four, like in my opinion, four of the top five players in the world in one series and the two best goalies in the world in the other series. And that's not even mentioning Victor Hedman, Artemi Panarin, Adam Fox. Like, all three best defensemen in the world are in the same, are in the league, are still playing right now. Like, Hedman, Makar, Fox, Roman Josi, shit. You could argue it. And then you've got Panarin, Stamkos, Point, if he plays, Kucherov, like...
Is Point still he's still a question mark, if I'm not mistaken.
Eh? I think he is, but if he
returns, like, he's not ruled out for sure.
Yeah, he's not, but he'll probably do everything he can. That dude is a bulldog. But wait, so did you, what number of games did you pick the Rangers in?
I didn't pick because I don't think they make you pick after the first
round. No, they don't, but I thought you might have said it.
No, I don't think I did. I'll go Rangers in seven, though.
Okay. That'll be quite a game seven, eh? Like, Shesterkin versus Vasilev. Imagine it's 0-0 like, going to overtime.
It'll be like a triple overtime 2-1.
And the shots will be like 68-30 for Tampa.
Yeah, and Rangers will win.
Yeah.
And the Rangers on 132-footer.
Yeah. Yeah, I am very excited. The Edmonton-Colorado game starts probably in the next 10 minutes. Are you going to be watching?
I have to go pick up Courtney at 9. She's off, but I'll have it on until then.
Nice.
I'll probably end up missing a little bit, but
that's everyone. You got anything else to squeeze in at the end here?
No, I think I'm good, but as like hell of a time to be a hockey fan.
We should have gotten Ryan's picks. We didn't even ask him. He kind of just said he couldn't be on it and was like, all right.
We just did not. We did not negotiate. We were not sad. We were like, cool.
We were just like, continue all right.
To make plans in front of him.
He's busy moving into Halifax, where he's going to do his master's. So good for him. But he's missing out on the podcast.
Shit podcast.
I guess if you don't have anything, I don't have anything else to add. You've got Edmonton in 5, Rangers in 7. I've got Colorado in 5, Tampa in 6. So next pod we'll have to get Ryan's opinion, and
that'll probably be after the third round. It won't matter.
Probably Ryan will probably get both exactly correct. But all right, if you don't got anything else, I guess we can just go ahead and play the intro, and that'll do it for episode 15.
I think you mean the outro.
Did I say intro?
You did.
Oh shit, now you get to say it.
It's embarrassing. And as my final remark, Lou Lamoriello retire.
You gotta say play the outro.
No, I'm using it my stage time to emphasize how bad the Islanders are. Okay. I love that they're not in the playoffs and we just roasted them for like half an hour.
So now that you didn't say play the outro, I'm gonna start the outro from when I said play the intro. All right, see you at episode 16. Thank you for listening.